Rabbi was standing on the Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul in the middle of the Yeshiva de Nechemta, following the 3 weeks and the Tanaitim and the current very difficult matzav in Eretz Yisrael and the whole of the Middle East. So there has to be a link between the stress and pressure and sakana that Klal Yisrael finds ourselves in, which we daven every day for Yeshua, and the build up, returning from holidays, getting back into normal routine. So we're going to look at all those events and the link between the calendar and what's happening in the world through the eyes of Chazal in a Gemara in Bechayis, of Ches Amud Beis, a riddle between the Sobe de Be'atuna and Rabbi Shua ben Hanania. We're going to jump about 1500 years to Reb Chaim Volozhin, who explains this Gemara plus minus 200 years ago, and then Rav Dessler gave a shmuz in Ponovesh Yeshiva 5 years after the Holocaust, explaining Reb Chaim Volozhin, and it's in Mikvah Meliyahu Chelek Beis, and 40 years later. The English versions of Mikvah Meliyahu started coming out, and you'll find it in Strive for Truth 4. That's the basis on which we'll be speaking. There is a sequence in the calendar: Puranus, Nechama, Teshuvah, and Simcha. Pain and suffering, that's the Drei Wochen. Comfort, consolation, the Shiva the Nechemta that follows, Teshuvah in Elul, and Simcha in Tishrei. And that's how the new year begins. We break the habits of the old year to prepare ourselves for Teshuvah, with the introduction of the pain and suffering followed by consolation and rebuilding. And then we move into Elul and Teshuvah. So the Gemara in Bechayis has a debate between the Sabba de Be'atuna, the elders of the house of Athens. There are many riddles between Chazal and non-Jewish Chachamim. It's quite likely, and I'm sure some of the Mefarshim suggest this, that the Sabba de Be'atuna were the early Christians, the early disciples. And their whole philosophy was that the Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, was the end of Judaism, of the Jewish people as a chosen nation. And it was the annulment of the first covenant, of the brit between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the proof is that there's no more Beit HaMikdash, and the whole of Klal Yisrael are in Golos. And therefore Hashem has decided to get rid of his first chosen nation and swap them for a new nation, a new covenant, a new testament. And so they pose the following riddle: Malcho Kisario, when salt goes rancid, goes off, goes sour, the my molchila, What can you salt it with? What can you preserve it with? That was the riddle they said. If salt goes off, how can it be preserved? How can it be salted? To which Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania answered, the siltah de kudnaisa. You find a mule, a kudnaisa, and you take the siltah, you take the afterbirth. The afterbirth of a mule is an excellent preservative for salt that's gone rancid. So the Sabbat Rabbi Atuna said to Rabbi Hanania, Rabbi Shemin Hanania, your idea sounds a bit idiotic. There is no such thing as a salter de kudnaiso. There's no afterbirth of a mule. A mule is a crossbreed between a horse and a donkey, and crossbreed cannot breed. It's a biological fact. A mule cannot give birth to a mule. Cannot give birth to anything. So there is no afterbirth. So, where do you get this idiotic fantasy from? So, he says back to them, well, I've never come across salt that goes rancid. Your question is equally meshuggah. So what's going on? Their question was their suggestion that Klal Yisrael should give up hope. What kept Bnei Yisrael alive all these years in those days? The Kedusha Beit Yisrael, the Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. That's the salt that has preserved Klal Yisrael throughout the centuries. And now they say, they challenge, they pose, it's gone. No more Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael is in Golus. No more Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Shechina, it's destroyed. The exile itself is totally against any concept of Kedusha and Tahara. So the more we wallow in exile, the less contact we have with the last remnants of anything holy. So there's no hope. Give up. That's what they're saying. Give up. The salt has gone rancid. The eternal preservative is not so eternal. And the answer is, you think that we are mules. You think, Roni Akor Lo Yaloda, that we are barren of hope, barren of a future, barren of the birth of Mashiach. The wonder you're going to see that the so-called mule is going to have an afterbirth. Hope is not lost. The marshal of a lady who is struggling to become a mother, and she goes to the biggest mumcha in the world, fertility gynecologist, who concludes, I'm very sorry to tell you, I am the world's biggest expert, and the way I see it, there is no hope for you ever to have a child. A year later, she comes back to the hospital about to give birth. She passes the professor in the corridor and she says to him, give our cook, take a look at the barren lady. Your mumchias is no match for Rachamei Shemayim. V'af kam zoyis piyoyis omeres aveyem. We have the Avtocha also the Tzechocha in Chukoytai. Lo imaastim v'lo igaltim lechaloysam lo pedriti itam. The exile is not meant to be a sign of total destruction and annihilation. It is not even a sign, is not even a sign of the loss of the original covenant. Ki Hashem Elokeim, Hashem is always our God, we are always His chosen children, and hope is never lost. But how does it work? What is the sequence of korban, of punishment, of exile, and then ultimate redemption? We have a concept, it came up the last couple of days in the Daf Yomi as well. We see it in Daniel, of a sar of each ummah. Each nation has its own sar, literally prince, ministering angel, guardian angel. And these malachim, of Desley explains, they capture the spiritual essence of the midas of that nation. And in the process of the Bria, of the creation of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching the world, and particularly Klal Yisrael, all about different midas and different behavior. So, each time a lesson has to be learned, each time a midah has to thrive in the world to teach its milas and its kisroinus. So the nation that is characterized by that particular characteristic, that particular quality, that particular spiritual nature, so if it's time for that nation to teach the world a lesson, so the Tsar, the Malach, the Ruchnius part of that nation is on duty in heaven. And as he is elevated, so the nation below, whether it's the Roman Empire or Napoleonic Empire or the Ottoman Empire, they rise in the eyes of the physical world. And then when the lesson has been taught and the world is wiser and one step closer to Moshiach, then the nation has no more use. The Tsar is demoted and the empire falls. There are two principal strains of human behavior. Rav Dessler was very strongly influenced by the writings of Tzadok HaKohen, and these feature in the writings of Tzadok, and it's quite likely, although in the actual Maimon he doesn't quote him, but that's where it comes from. The one list of midas which drive a human being comes under the category of taiva, desire, pleasure. We are driven because we want to enjoy ourselves. We want physical delight, physical love, physical luxuries, physical pleasures. That's one principle which motivates and drives the human being. About 100 years ago, Sigmund Freud decided that that's the basic principle which drives the person. And Freudian psychology is based on that principle. But he stole it from his Cheder years, from Chazal, who explained what time is all about. Avraham Avinu, the founding father of Klal Yisrael, was able to take that middle to its positive extreme of chesed, of gemilut chasadim, and he brought down that amud, that pillar of the world of gemilut chasadim, in the most positive way. And that Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains, these are the two opposites of the driving force of enjoyment: either making other people happy, which is chesed, or making oneself fulfilling all those desires, which is ta'avot. The second force, and some people fit more into the second category than the first, is ga'avot, pride, arrogance, power, the motivation to dominate. That's what drives the person. One of Freud's Talmidim, Adler says that the will to power, the Adlerian school, that's what drives man. He also didn't realize that he was simply copying what the Tzadok HaKohen had said many years earlier. But these two parallel drives in a human being is Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was the ultimate onov, the ultimate gibor, the ultimate Eved Hashem, who was Kovesh et Yitzchak, self-control, self-discipline. There is the positive side of that middle. The negative side of the middle is arrogance, control, power, pride. The Churban Bayis Rishon came, says Rav Dessler, because of Ta'ava. Chazal explained that it was the three cardinal sins that were rampant during the time of the end of the first Beit HaMikdash, Gula Arayos, Shpichus Domim, and Avodah Zarah. But all of it was really because of immorality and lust. Le'ovdu Avodah Zarah, El Lahatulah Mitharayos. Even idol worship was simply an excuse to permit the pleasures of the flesh. And so we went into Golos. Golos of Poras, Golos of Bovel. Those nations that exiled us were the nations that epitomized Ta'ava, desire. And so we learned our lesson by being hosted by nations whose whole characteristic was that failing that we had. But there's something fascinating I've ever said about Ta'ava. It's short-lived. We get sick. A person can like ice cream. I belong to the school of people who like ice cream. A person can have one ice cream, can feel like another ice cream. Those of us who are way ahead in this school of ice cream lovers can polish off 5-6 ice creams on the clock. No problem. After about 15 or 20 ice creams, it becomes a bit mold, becomes a bit sickening, because Bob created a human being with a saturation point of Ta'ava of every form, whether it's eating, or other forms of human desire, and eventually become sickening, and then we begin to wonder, was it worth it? Why were we so stupid to think that this is the path to eternal pleasure? There has to be another option. There has to be another way. So in the big scheme of things, 70 years of galus is relatively short. That's all it took, a couple of generations for Klal Yisrael to learn that Tavor is not the way to ultimate happiness. And so Hashem gave us another chance. We did Teshuvah. We learned our lesson. And the second Beit HaMikdash was built. But towards the end of the second Beit HaMikdash, as Chazal points out, there was an excess of a motivation of arrogance and pride and control, manifest in the form of Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam, hating another person's presence. How dare anyone else stand in my way? I'm the boss. I feel secure when I'm in charge. Anyone else is a potential threat to that control and that power. And so we went into a galus of Edom, and Edom is the epitome of Gaava, of arrogance, of pride, of power, of control. The difficulty with that middah, says Rav Dessler, is that it's potentially infinite. It doesn't stop. It doesn't have a saturation point. A person is talented in avodas hashibur, so they make him a gavah. He's ambitious. Being a gavah isn't enough. He wants to become the president of the shul. So with perseverance, he successfully becomes the president of the shul. But his gavah doesn't stop there. It's a small shul. He wants to be on the lay committee of the shul. So he gets on the lay committee of the shtot, he becomes president of all the committees of the shtot. Still not enough. He has to become mayor of the town. Then he goes into politics, becomes an MP. He's not satisfied until he becomes prime minister. And then the country's too small, so he has to start conquering other countries. That's how the Napoleons of the world are created. Gavo has no saturation point. Unlike the first Golos, where within 70 years we'd become sick of our own taiva, of the excessive taiva we saw around us, and we felt there has to be another way, and so the pain, the suffering, and the galus led to nechama, and that nechama led to teshuvah and simcha and rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. That was the story between the first and second Beit HaMikdash, but it hasn't been the story since. The Baal Horowitz, Rav Shiva Dvar Yerushalayim, in a recent visit to England, said that today we're living in a generation that for the first time the two strains of anti-Semitism, Islam and Christianity, are working in cahoots, are working in partnership. For the last 2,000 years, we've either suffered under Islam or suffered under Christians, but the two have hated each other. So there's never been a combination of both. The suggestion is that the brute force of Islam is ta'avo based. And that's the East. And Western forces are ga'avo based. And it could be that all the things that caused the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni are coming together in these days of Chavele Leda, as the mule is about to give birth, as we sense the Chutzpah Yaski and all the other symptoms leading to Moshiach. Evil, says Rav Dessler, ultimately destroys itself. And when people see the extent that evil can go, that brings the rethinking. That brings the teshuvah, that brings the geula, and that brings the simcha. He wrote those lines 5 years after the Holocaust. He hoped that the world would see how far the destructive forces of Ga'avor can reach, and the world, and particularly the Jewish world, will learn its lesson. And the mass teshuvah, he says, well, the reflection will either lead to despair and suicide or to repentance and geula. 50 years later, we find the world in the same situation. The forces of evil, the forces of terror, the combination of the so-called liberal West, who only have sympathy for Rishoyim, and the brute force of Islam in the East, is reaching a point where we see that there is no future, not for Ta'ava and not for Ga'ava. This has to be the motivating push and drive on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul to do proper teshuvah on all counts, on the Churban Bayis Rishon, on the Churban Bayis Sheni. And if current events and a sense of Ein Lanu L'Yishoyin Elo Al Avinu Shebashamayim can work positively, then from this sense of despair, from this sense of frustration, can be born the Nechama, the Teshuvah, the Simcha, and the Geula.